What is wrong with the process, the appointee process, the way that it is today?
Well, Francis, first of all, thanks for having me on to talk about this. I think there's and this has been a longstanding issue, and I think it's gotten more serious recently, and there's been some legislation to try and fix some of these problems. First of all, I don't think there's anyone that wouldn't agree that the process takes too long. It can range from months and months to even beyond a year in some cases. There are some things that are hard to understand and unpack, like the holds that sometimes take place that often have nothing to do with the nominee, various speed bumps that can occur. And so I think that as a new a term of office or new potentially administration comes in, it's a good time to look at it, and that's what's been going on.
Both of the things that you mentioned, though, Linda, sound like issues with Congress that if they chose to do things differently, they could do so. They could speed up the process by scheduling hearings in a more timely manner. They could speed up the process by requiring less information or reviewing it faster. The same thing with the hold. Senators could just decide this isn't a place that we want to use that power even though we have it. So I wonder if there is a legislative fix when it's the legislative branch where some of these issues lie in the first place.
Well, the first thing that can be done here is to just limit the number of appointments that actually require Senate confirmation. And the bill that I mentioned is one that is addressing that. I believe there's somewhere around 167 or so positions that would actually be taken off of that list. So right there, that would eliminate a process for positions where it's really not required, for example, some board positions. But I think there ways to deal with information sharing, some of the same background information that's required in the presidential vetting process or the White House vetting process, I should say, is the same as what's required by the Senate. So having a common repository of data that could be accessed for both reviews would be one of the things that could help streamline it and still preserve some of the prerogatives, for example, of the Senate.
Does that technology exist now? It seems like it's pretty basic data input information. I imagine some of the information that you submitted when you were confirmed to the positions that you had in government over the years probably was a lot more complex than just, you know, name and address and so on. But I imagine automating it was probably the same process no matter what kind of information it is.
I think that the automation really is the key, but also getting agreement at least on a core set of questions that would be held in common, and I would think maybe supplemented by some additional ones at each end of the process, but have that core set up to be put into a central repository, as you mentioned. And in my case, which first was 10 years ago and then for OPM was 7 years ago, that did not exist, at least the function didn't exist, and the information, many of it, the things very similar, had to be supplied twice. So I think that's one example of a very practical way to shorten the process and make it less onerous on the individual who's being nominated.
Your former colleague at OMB, Clay Johnson, is he's on this all the time. He's told us on our station on any number of occasions about how difficult this process is from the administration side and not just from the individual appointees side. Having seen it from both sides, what else do you think, what else is there is possible to streamline this and make it easier for both ends? Well, all three, I guess, because the Senate has the same difficulty on its side as well.
Well, here's one example or one idea that may be a little bit more aggressive than what was in the memos to national leaders on this topic, the memo presented this morning at the NAPA session. But there was an idea in that memo about having a limit on the time, I think 3 months, for the deliberation in the Senate. What I would suggest is to go a step farther and actually put a deemer after that period of time expires, whether it's 3 months or some other period, that the nominee is deemed to be approved by the Senate. And, you know, some people think that that's not likely or not a practical suggestion, but if that were in place, I think that would really help speed the process up.
I mentioned that you were at this event at Napa today with your former, I guess you succeeded her indirectly, Chance, was OPM director for part of the Clinton administration. What did you agree on and what did you think about differently? We're going to have Janice on the program tomorrow to talk about this, but I'm curious as to your perspective on what the two of you had to say today.
Well, I think that Janice and I had very similar views, which was really very, I think, reinforced the overall process about this, that, you know, that it really could be done in a shorter time, and just talked about of not submitting the same data twice and recognizing that it is a challenge to get people. But at the same time, that hopefully that doesn't overshadow the opportunity for public service. One thing, Francis, that was also part of this morning's program was a set of memos about the federal workforce. And, of course, Janice and I both had a responsibility there. And I think we really felt very much in tune on there, the idea that all the discussion about the size of the workforce, making reductions, et cetera, was really backwards, and that the right approach should start with a reevaluation of what government functions we can afford, and then have the best people to go with those. And we both think about oftentimes in reverse. So it was a good opportunity to not only receive the memos by the NAPA team, but also for Janet and I hear some comments.